It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week.
Whoa. Well, it is Tuesday. It's the 12th of January, 2021. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, your hosts. Steve Johann, the producer, joining literally millions, I tell you, of other folks who are involved in this 170th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We're on iTunes, iHeart Podcast, Spotify, of course, Podomatic.com, like usual. Now we're on MeWe, new social network.
And, oh, cool.
We were on Parler until they took Parler down, but we're about to be on Clout Hub.
Oh.
So, and Rumble. So stick with us. We're not going anywhere. We're
wow, Brady, you've been busy.
Oh, I'm telling you. Anyway, right now, as usual, we are going to take a look at what's going on in our first segment, which is Back to the Blacktop. Steve has reached into his sock and pulled out cool stuff to talk about. Don't do that on the air. Oh, that's
good thing I'm over here in Gold Bar.
No kidding, man. So what do you got? What's up this week?
Well, after a lengthy study, it has now appeared that people want to go back to the way things were prior to the COVID-mandated restrictions.
Oh, right. And we can actually meet with people and shake hands and stuff now?
Yes, that kind of thing. Yeah. For those who don't want to do that, we still do.
But notice how we're not wearing any masks.
No. And we didn't when we were in our studio either. So stating we want to touch, sit, and even drive the cars before buying them. So the idea
of
just we were talking to Matt DeBoard about people ordering online and all
nice
that kind
guy.
Of stuff. And and then it was like, yeah, but there's a lot of us who still want to go in and test drive. Like when we bought my wife's car, we went and checked other cars out at different dealerships and found the one. And we were out on a rainy night, and I said, I think this is a good idea. Let's go for that. And we bought it that night. So it was after she had test driven it herself, and then she had me come in and look at it, and it was there. I don't want to miss that. So the idea of not being able to do that, people really want that. And it was interesting. Also, the study polled said that they were planning to buy a gas-powered car on their next, I should say, 74% of this poll said that they wanted to buy a gas-powered car in their next one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They were kind of, and then they were going on in the article about saying that people were really excited about or at least looking towards electric cars. But then I thought, again, we were talking about this last week's show. Only 2% of the population or 2% of all cars sold are electric.
Right.
So that being the case, I think a lot of people will do basically this. Oh, yeah, getting an electric car, that sounds good for the environment, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to actually buying it, they're like, no, I'm going to what's cheaper and what I can deal with. And consequently, there's a lot of promotional about the battery, but in reality, 98% of people are not going to buy electric because it's too expensive. They know that they can't get where they want to. They lose their freedom with electric.
And although I do know that if you buy an electric car these days, you're almost always going to get a free case of tofu along with it.
Well, but tofu with a Tesla? Oh, man.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But, somebody was telling me the other day that...
Ron's lost it now. We've lost Ron.
Well, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, yeah, you see all these Tesla guys and gals sitting over at the Fred Meyer, and they're all sitting there waiting to get charged. And I'm like, yeah, that's a real time. Good,
well,
fun,
a lot of
fun.
The big grocery stores have these lines of charging stations, and people are sitting there for an hour. I don't know what they're doing, playing video games on their phone. Like, come on.
I guess since they're not going to work anymore and they're staying home, they can take and go down there, and that's their commute time, charging their car.
Right.
So,
right.
Anyways, what I kind of come out with is that polls tend
to... a minute. If you're sitting there at your charging station with your Tesla charged in, and you're charging your phone in the car, does it take longer?
Oh, I don't know. They better be listening to our show, too. I mean, come on. They should be popping our show up and listening to us.
The battery out when it's going. No, I don't know.
So what I learned about this is polls sometimes have a tendency to basically project what they want you to think that is truth. But when the rubber meets the road, it's not actually being truthful. So, and then sad news for Brazil. Ford Motor Company is shuttering its production facility as part of the $4.1 billion reorganization. And they said that with more than a century in Brazil, that's amazing. They've been there for a century. They decided it's time to close down as part of their overall streamlining of their business. And, of course, they go on to talk about EV and all that crap. And
sure.
But the fact is, that's 5,000 people that are no longer – that's 5,000 people no longer in a job.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's sad. Sad for those. And then here's some news.
You know, streamlining almost always means loss of jobs. It's sad.
Okay, we got somebody in there. Somebody's coming in there. Is that you? Who's that down there?
Ron denies
doing that. That's right.
He knows nothing.
R2-D2. Oh, my God. That's our new sound effects, folks. Ron's got the machine. So here we go. Ford wins a couple of awards for their e-cars. One is available. It's a SUV Mustang. And the other one is their e-version. What are you doing there?
Did you say an SUV Mustang?
Yes.
It's an EV Mustang.
It's called their EV Mustang. It's an SUV Mustang Mach 1.
It's electric Mustang.
But it's not. It's actually, you go on there, they're showing a Mustang, but actually right now, it's the Mach 1, and it's an SUV. But they're going under the moniker. I was on their website today.
An SUV?
Yes, electric.
You're saying EV is what you mean.
Yes, but...
You're saying SUV.
On the break, I'll pull it up and I'll let you see it.
Okay, I want to see this.
Yeah, they're not. It's not. They're pushing the real Mustang, but they don't have it available yet. And so right now they got like the mini thing. It's an SUV under the moniker of a. Anyway, it's just goofy.
Okay. And the other thing, you'll be amused at this.
Yes, you will. And the other thing is this: is the F-150 is being purported to have won an award. But it isn't even available yet. So I've decided, I've decided you cannot award a car that isn't on the street. That's
but it's made of aluminum. The box is made of aluminum. He can.
But it's forbidden.
I'm
going to forbid any more award. I'm not going to mention any more awards of vehicles that are not on the street and you cannot purchase them. I'm tired of it. I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. That looks great, but you can't buy it. Well,
what good is it?
What good is it?
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm tired of it. No more. And then speaking of
tired. We will boycott reporting that.
Yes. And the other thing I'm boycotting reporting, why we're on boycotting, is, and I made notes about this, I will not mention any event anymore that has decided to cancel itself. So if somebody has canceled itself, I'm not mentioning their name anymore.
If it's canceled, why would we talk about it?
You know, all the big auto shows, and then it's like, and then you get this stuff. Well, we've decided because of the blah, blah,
but
blah.
See, you don't know. It's very challenging. Really. You know, ever since this whole silly COVID has started, lots of events have gone away. I mean, we all know it. And last year was like the year we'll never speak of again because all the events, you know, died off. Now, there's some fairly big events, the Good Guys Show and a couple of other ones, slated to appear in certain parts of the country now.
Right.
One in April that's going to be the Good Guys Show that's going to be in Spokane, Washington. Apparently, at this point, it's still a go.
Good.
But we don't know.
That's right. If they move it to Idaho,
Portland Roadster Show is supposed to be coming up as well. It's coming up real soon, too.
Yeah.
Okay, Brady, if they make it in Idaho, it's going to go because they don't. People
it's 22 miles. They could probably.
They could. And people will be there and they won't hold to the stupid things. Spokane, they may. But nonetheless, we're not going to mention any event that has closed its doors for whatever until they're actually meeting. Then it's worthwhile talking about. And then King of Baggers Racing. So King of Baggers Racing, because you were really into baggers and stuff. You had one for years.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they got a racing series, which this is from the motorcycle world, but it's called King of Bagger Racing, and it's pitting people with baggers against each other. And actually, it's now an official part of the national championship.
But what
of
kind
the
of
AMA.
Racing? Are we talking
track racing around a track?
Oh, circle track or road course?
Oh, wow.
Circle track.
Oh, well, that'd be fun.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's our music.
Well, you know what? We're going to do this again. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we got a veteran who literally tattoos cars. Austin Wagoner is our guest. Next on Horsepower, Chrome and Rust.
Car
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Hey, y'all, this is Tommy Ring with Ring Rod's Hot Rod Shop in Nashville, Tennessee, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Bunch of crazy dudes just like me. For all y'all crazy people out there, give us a listen. We appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome to the first half of the Windshield View. Today we have Austin Wagner with the Engraving Company, and we're going to have his name and his of his company here. Brady will probably give you that. I don't have a script. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. Welcome to Horsepower, Rowan Rust.
There you go. It's the best. We don't let technical difficulties get in our way. Just because Ron has no printer, we don't care. Austin, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
So, like Ron said, this is kind of cool. I got to do a little background here on how I ran into Austin. One of the things that I've been doing since I moved to Idaho is getting involved with as much of the, you know, the car community here as possible. There's a great group called North Idaho Rat Rods and Customs. The admin of the group is Brent Lundquist, and he's been on the show before a couple of times, actually. But we put out a call tonight to see if there was anybody who would be interested in coming in, and everybody said, Austin, this is the guy. You have to talk to him, because he basically tattoos metal.
Yes.
And I thought,
yes,
all right, that's a good hook. I got to find out. So after a reasonable career in the military, you decided that you were going to be a tattoo artist, and you did that for, we're going to go into all of this, but you did that for a while, and then you decided skin wasn't good enough. Now you're going to tattoo steel.
Hey, I got tattoos.
Rod, yeah, yeah. Now, so now you're actually
Brady.
Engraving
of
various and sundry auto parts. And but just so that we are all on the same page, we got a whole bunch of video and stills of Austin's work that we're going to link to all of this. You cannot believe it's just absolutely amazing. So give me the background of how you moved from skin to steel, because it's got to be a great story.
Yeah, well, at the time when I started doing this stuff, I was tattooing at night, and this is about 2017 when I got involved in doing this stuff. I was a student at Spokane Community College, going through the automotive collision and refinishing and the mechanical program. And I've always been a nut when it comes to hot rods. And I used to give my dad a hard time, who's been a mechanic for 50 years. I could identify a car based off their headlights. Granted, this was 15, 20 years ago when I could do it, because now all the headlights look alike.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
And an Army buddy of mine sent me a link to a veteran that we both have in common. He started up a custom engraving studio down in Arizona called Hand Row Studio Engraving.
Okay.
And what he did was he took a 2016 F-150. Basically, he prepped the whole surface like he would prep doing a paint job. And then he spent roughly 1,000 hours hand engraving this whole thing with a Dremel.
Nice.
Wow. He was excited about the, and these are everyday Dremels you buy at Ace.
Yeah. I think we all probably have one.
And the imagery that he put on this thing was all dedicated towards his generation of veteran, my generation of veteran, we call them the GWAT kids, the Global War on Terrorism kids. Okay. And it was such a powerful just collage of imagery, and the way he did it, something hit me. And the very next day I went and bought a Dremel and started teaching myself how to do this. And since then, you know, I was constantly bugging my instructors at college. There's one in particular who's a great hot rodder. Guy's a plethora of knowledge of Chevy stuff. He's got a 66 C10. And the last year of my school, he brings in his air scoop. And he's like, what could you do with this? You've been bugging me. Let's see what you can do. So we wound up, he wanted it named Bug Catcher. That's what they used to call them.
Right.
So I laid everything out with Sharpies, put about 40 hours of engraving work into this guy's air scoop. And when I brought it back to him, we had added a little extra touch. We put him and his wife's wedding day on there.
Ah,
just cool. Just the numbers. He had to ask his wife what it was because he got married in Vegas.
Okay.
They said I do before midnight, but they signed the paperwork after midnight.
Ah.
And once we did that, it was all or nothing. I wound up doing a full dress out on his motor, the radiator cover, the supercharger, the valve covers. He had custom trim inserts made for it, interior pieces, and it was all for the 2019 Speed and Custom show.
Nice. Now, is some of that work part of, because before we started doing this, Austin sent me a bunch of stills and a couple of three videos of some of the work. Is that piece or those pieces in some of those stills and videos?
Yeah. See? Yeah. Okay, there'll be a few pictures of the full motor dressed out.
Nice.
I have a few issues when it comes to sending full length videos, but
yeah,
I've got a bunch on my page.
Well, we're going to link to your page, of course, and all of the stuff you sent is going to go up, you know, along with the show. So I looked at it and I thought, this is pretty amazing stuff. And I have to say, the first guy that I thought of after I saw the initial piece, I think you're working on the scoop on one of them.
Yeah.
The first guy that I thought of was Ron. Ron would now, love some of this stuff.
No, what,
now, which scoop? Is that the right
it's the
now?
One that, it's the one that says Bug Catcher.
Oh, okay. Because I just finished up work on a guy's shotgun air scoop.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
He's doing a build based off of the Quentin Tarantino movie Death Proof.
Right, right.
So
right on.
He sent me this beautiful double barrel shotgun air scoop.
Yeah,
no nicks, no chips, no scratches, and now I've just totally ruined that surface.
Well, ruin is a subjective term. I mean, some people might say that, but I'm sure it looks great.
I like to think I enhanced it.
There you are.
Well, you know, you were before the show. We were talking about your tattooing, and you pointed out that you are a freehand artist, and so that you tend to use a Sharpie or whatever and write the actual original artwork first on the person's hand or wherever it is and the contours to get it correct. Did that train you well for working on contours of your parts? Because there's a lot of contours of the things you're working on.
Honestly, I'd say the tattooing in general kind of was a perfect training ground for teaching me how to do this. Especially when I do my portrait work. because I'm basically turning my hand and the Dremel into a tattoo machine.
Yeah.
Except instead of the machine going 1,000 times a minute, going dot, 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 I have to go dot, 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 dot.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it seems to me that a lot of engravers, you know, the classic jewelry engravers, they're either jewelers or a lot of them are dentists because they're interested, you know, they're used to doing that fine, you know, little intricate kind of work. But it seems just, I mean, I'm not an artist at all. I can barely draw Fred Flintstone. You wouldn't want me drawing anything on you. But I can appreciate somebody's having the skill to do that kind of stuff, especially detail work. It seems like tattooing, you know, that level of art, because it's very detail-oriented, would be a really good, you know, lead into the kind of thing you're doing.
It was perfect for me. And it also taught me the best skill in the world. How to fix a screw up.
Whoever screws up, I mean, come on.
Oh, any tattoo artist that haven't screwed up a tattoo is a bold faced liar. Well, just learn how to camouflage your mistakes.
That's pretty much
what I learned how to do.
There you go.
Sometimes they're a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
That's right. You might get a little something you didn't figure on having, and it looks better. Maybe.
The best tattoo I've ever done was a guy came in and got his wife's name tattooed on him.
Oh, cool. We'll save that one for after the break because I'm pretty sure we're getting close to a spot here. Ron, are you set to take us out?
Yes, I am. This just in. I just got this. Marcia just sent this to me.
Oh, nice.
Hey, the Windshield View will be right back right after these few messages here on Horsepower, Chrome and Rust. Stick around.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Don't move. We'll bring this rig home right after this.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad.
Back in Vehicle City. Yes, we are. We're back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust in our conversation with Austin Wagner. And Austin, I wanted to ask you, it sounds like you do a lot of pointillism. Am I correct on that?
That'd be the best way to describe it, or stippling.
Stippling, because there you go. Because I was at the Art Institute eons ago. I was hoping to get a career as an art director in the advertising world. That never happened. But I did get into graphic design, and I did go to work at print shops and all that. And part of the projects we were doing was learning how to do stippling and I used a rapidograph pen and that kind of thing. So I'm very familiar with the idea of doing that pointillism or stippling, and you really, for those who don't know, you can just do dots, but you've got to darken up certain areas. You got to lighten up other areas to get the contrast. So it's not as, you know, comic books were designed that way, you know, with the black and white.
I was going to say, and not to mention what Austin's doing, if I'm not mistaken, you're kind of doing that in reverse on metal, because you're making holes instead of raising something up. Isn't that right?
Well, like with the portrait work I do that I've gotten a lot of acclaim for in the last year, it's just like doing traditional, like a black and gray tattoo, except backwards.
Right.
Instead of creating all the black areas, I'm creating all the highlight and then blending everything out from there.
That's pretty cool. So
it's that negative space that you're working with. That's what I say. Yeah. The comic book artists, they are very good about turning that around. Right. And you got a lot of black, but you see the image of the face or whatever, and all of a sudden it's the black that really highlights. You know, like film noir back in the day, the black and the light contrast really brought in that effect. So, was that something you taught yourself?
Yeah, I'm a self-taught artist. The only formal art education I've ever had was public school. Junior high, elementary, and high school. I took all the art classes because the dream for me back in the early 90s, I was going to go to Seattle Art.
Oh, see, right? There you go.
I wanted to be a comic book illustrator.
Oh, there you go.
Art Institute of Seattle, isn't that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I went.
I used to teach there.
I had a couple friends from high school who went there. They were phenomenal illustrators.
Yep.
By the time I graduated high school and was getting ready to go there, it was the comic books were all being computer generated now.
Yes.
So a traditional artist was like, well, what the hell do I do? Yeah. I know. I join the army and blow stuff up.
There you are. See, it's a perfect segue. It's perfect. Well, I was going to ask you, when you were talking about some of the other work that you've done, I mean, things like, you know, curved surfaces and things, you're basically now you're headquartered in Spokane, Washington, so Pacific Northwest essentially, but you take in work from all over the place. I mean, people send you pieces and parts.
Yeah, so, right now I'm doing this project at the air scoop and a set of valve covers for a builder down in Laredo, Texas.
Right.
Who's I found out after talking with him, he's from Spokane.
Oh wow!
Of course. Oh wow! Cool. Okay,
sure.
Small world.
That's just all the way it is. Well, what I was going to ask you is, I mean, auto parts by nature are kind of complex, and the surfaces are all different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular piece or a particular surface that you've done that was like the most difficult? Which, you know, what somebody sends you the supercharger from something's like, oh man, this is going to be work.
Well, most of the, I mean, if I can catch them before they make the purchase, it's great, because I'll tell them, buy aluminum.
Yeah.
It's soft metal, easily pliable. Right. I can cut through that with no problem. If they have hardened steel parts, we can work on those.
Yeah.
But I've got to explain to them, if you send me something chrome, I'm going to tell you I need to send it back to you.
Yeah.
Get something that is bare metal. Chrome will destroy your bits. It's such a hard surface to break through. And then even once you break through it, all it's going to do is flake and peel and rust.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Plus you got nickel and copper underneath it. And then you get to the steel. It's.
And if people want to get their parts chrome, that means I have to cut a little bit deeper just to compensate for the buildup. And there's people really don't understand all the different processes that have to go into before I even cut on a piece of metal. Like, everything has to be polished.
Have you ever tried brass or copper?
I did a portrait this summer. My neighbor commissioned one for his dad. He was a Navy bomber pilot, and he wanted it, since he was Navy, he wanted it painted navy blue on a piece of brass or copper. Not the best surfaces for paint to adhere to, without going through the entire primer, sealer, paint.
Yep.
Well, a lot of trench art they used, you know, they took the cartridges from the bombs, and they did a lot of tapping and scratching and scribing in the trench art on the brass castings of the cartridges.
Yeah, I'm going to be actually ordering some casings some probably like 105 millimeter casings here in the next year or two, because I want to do them for myself.
That'd be really cool.
I was a field artillery guy my whole career in the Army.
Oh, right on. Thank you for your service.
I wasn't on the end that pulled the string and made the gun go boom, but I was the one that told them where to shoot and just prayed that it didn't hit me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was when you're talking about the different substrates, the idea came also to my mind. Do you do work for custom motorcycles? Because I was down at Paul Yaffe's shop. This was years ago. We were coming through, and they were preparing a bagger, and it was just this wild paint. It was for a show, and they had a guy that was doing all the scribing for the covers for the forks. All the aluminum was literally engraved, and in his form, it looked like he was actually carving it right out of the aluminum.
He was probably using a more traditional setup, which is called a graver setup. Eventually, I'm going to move into that because it does do a lot more detailed and fine line stuff.
Yeah, he had it farmed out to somebody. I don't know who the artist was, but the guy was phenomenal.
The veteran that got me started doing that inspired me to start doing this. He's actually done projects for Paul Yaffe. He's had a few builds he's been involved that have been involved in TV series, and I don't want to throw those names out there, but he's a couple HBO series have featured some of his work.
Right.
Nice.
Well, I used to have a show all about that.
That's the goal for me. That's the goal for me. But it's funny. I'm getting ready to start in on a bike that was painted last year by another local artist. Phenomenal airbrush art. I mean, this bike has the cleanest looking lace paint job I've ever seen in my life. And it's so detailed. And now I've got to spend, she's got a nice size budget, but I've got to match a $10,000 paint job.
Yeah. You can do it.
No
you
pressure.
Can do it.
We're gonna be pulling most of the covers off the bike. She's gonna get a larger front tire for it because she wants that Paul Yaffe look.
Right.
Just doesn't have the money for a Paul Yaffe bike.
Right. Yeah, but so
we'll be starting on that next week, and that's gonna be a fun project.
I'm gonna push
to have that as my display if we get to have the Speed and Custom show this spring.
I've seen where they've taken fins on the heads of motorcycles, and they did like a diamond cut to catch the light. Is that kind of similar to what you're doing?
We're going to do that. We're going to do if we can get the jugs off, or at least if I can have access to do them, we're going to do the jugs, the rocker covers, the primary cover, all pretty much as many of the covers as we can get them to pull off, and then the front tire. And I believe she wants to do something with either the headlight or the headlight bars or the front forks.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward
forks.
To it.
Boy, that'd be a challenge because they're all hardened.
Yeah, but they put covers over them. Paul's had the aluminum covering that went over the top, so then you could scribe all that.
Yeah, but the lowers are all hardened steel. That'd be a challenge.
Eventually, I want to turn this into, I'm trying to convince the local hot rod and rat rod scene here. I want to do a full body car.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Almost. I know it's going to be more geared towards the lowrider community and the rat rod community, but I'd love to do like take somebody's 60s era hot rod. And let's just change the way you look at what you can do with a car.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And I want to do just a crazy, beautiful candy paint job on there. Yeah. But put the engraving work in the layers of candy.
That would be cool.
It really starts pushing that depth even more than what you thought you could.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, one of our friends in the car community over in Seattle, a guy named Harley Patrones, he's got a 53 Chevy coupe, I think a two-door. And it's a low rider. It's bagged and all the, you know, the cool stuff. But he's got a lot of engraving in the engine compartment of that. I don't know who did it. But it's gorgeous. His paint job is pretty sexy. I doubt that he would redo it. But I don't think he's thought about that kind of thing on the body of the car.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing with the hot rod community. We are cursed with we'll want to see it done, just not on our car.
Well, yeah, I think he spent a lot of money getting this thing the way he wants it. It, you know, it might be that, but a build from scratch kind of thing could be a thing.
You could also work with a motorcycle tank and show it on a tank, because then all of a sudden you got that nice tank, and you could actually show proof of pudding is in the fact that look at this tank, and then the beautiful custom paint over the top of it.
Yeah,
that might be something. Yeah. And believe me, I could put you in touch with a lot of customizers in the motorcycle scene, since I spent 10 years with a show about that. So,
I know a guy who's got a little pickup truck he's building a rat rod out of. That would be pretty cool to have his cab etched like that down in there, Brady.
Somebody might know that.
It
kind of close to Spokane, too, right now. Too,
pretty close,
now,
yeah.
Did you guys all see that 58 Impala that went down to SEMA a couple of years back? That was,
I did see that.
It was booked as a fully engraved car.
Oh, I think I do, but I can't remember in my head. I remember reading about that.
It was a Japanese builder out of Tokyo.
Mm.
He took 3 years in bare metal just doing the metal work on this car. And it came out, I mean, the thing came out straighter than Detroit ever could imagine. Hmm. But then he goes on and slaps on a half inch thick layer of body filler.
What?
And when people see all the engraving, it's a craze that's going on over in Japan where they're doing, they layer like a half inch thick layer of body filler, sand it smooth. And then he comes through and takes wood, like wood carving tools.
Yeah.
And carved it out. So, and then it's
in the filler.
In the filler. And then it's a chromoly paint over the top of it. So it looks like it's bare metal.
Wow.
Seems like a lot of work.
Interesting. Interesting.
Everybody kept showing me that video a couple of years back after I built my, last 3 years I've been building a rat rod bug.
Yep.
And everybody kept showing me that video. Well, after the 2019 Speed and Custom Show, I spent a month in my driveway with my bug, stripped it down to bare metal, chemically rusted it.
Right.
Thank God it rained that night because it just helped the process.
Sure. Sure.
Yep.
And then it took me about a month pulling parts off, and I wound up engraving the hood, the rear deck lid, the entire top of the car, and the doors.
Nice.
So how did you hold yourself up above the top of the car? Did you have like ladders or 2x4s?
I'm 6'3".
Okay. All right. Maybe a bucket, standing on a bucket.
No, I did a lowering drop spindle in the front. I reached the rear end on it. So it sits about 2 inches.
Sounds pretty
cool. Off the ground.
And you got to see pictures of this now. You can't just tell us this.
No,
when you're showing us pictures.
I sent you pictures.
Yeah, I saw it on there.
We'll put them up.
But then at the end of it, the car, when you get it out in the sunlight, the car looks like it's been wrapped in old saddle leather.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because after I did all the engraved work, I went down to Ace, bought a bunch of clear coat.
There you go.
Rattle can clear coat. And in my driveway, I'm sitting there spraying this thing down, taping up the windows. But
what a deal!
I take it to shows, and I could park it next to somebody's six figure build, and it gets more attention than their car does.
Oh yeah,
So well,
people like stuff that's unusual, you know. You can see a Tri 5 anytime, but something like that, it's not the usual thing.
I've either paid or done little bits to customize every vehicle I've ever had. Ordinary sucks and stock is boring.
You can't leave them stock. That's just all there is. You know, I wish that we had more time to talk. I could see Steve holding up the signs. We're getting down to the end.
But
Austin Wagoner has been our guest, and we are going to link your pictures and your website and your Facebook page. But you can find him you go look up Austin Wagoner. We'll make sure we spell it correctly in the promo. But we're close enough that you and I are going to get together for lunch or a beer or something, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Ron was alluding to my rat rod that I'm building. I think we may have to talk.
Right on.
I'm always ready for projects.
All right.
Well, thank you.
I love it when people take enough chance on me to let me scratch the hell out of their paint jobs, but do it in an artistic way.
Super. Thanks,
well, thanks so much, Austin. And you're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world. And we got a great hot rod story that you can share with your friends up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hi, this is Big Daddy Don Garlitson. Welcome to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Got a new machine.
Hey man, it's time for Cars Confidential with Fender's Fins and Friends. Hey Brady, let her rip.
I got a great story tonight, especially in view of having Austin on the show, because we sort of did some of this when we were talking with him. This one is obviously from Fender's Fins and Friends. Thank you, Lance, for letting us read your stories.
Yes.
He's happy to get the promotion. This one is called Floating, Flying, and Fraternizing. I did a little fraternizing with Austin here a little bit earlier. So this one is, all right, so here this person starts out with a question. And the question is, you take four aging car guys, well, three. You add a funky houseboat, an ancient airplane, a super sports car, and what happens?
Fun.
Well, he found out a few weeks ago when I spent 5 days with three of my best high school buddies. Hector, not his real name. Why did you pick Hector? What an idiot name. Lives in a houseboat in Portland on the Columbia River and has a 1979.
Great character on Longmire.
There you go. Maybe that's it. He's got a 1979 Grumman Tiger airplane to entertain his pals. Gunter, not his real name, flew in from Washington, D.C. to join the melee. And Lance, I'm going to kill you. Obadiah, not his real name, extracted himself from the social cave he'd been hiding in for 40 years to spend some quality time with his less than quality friends from the olden days. Now, it's going to be the perfect mini vacation. And we were supposed to be equipped with all the essential tools, floating accommodations, winged transportation, impressive sports car, and beer. Perfect. Gunter arrived at my Seattle doorstep. We sped off in a borrowed 2007 Mitsubishi Eclipse GT Spider utilized for our speed racer bonsai run to Oregon's land of ports. The best description of the classy four-wheel rocket is, well, it's really classy and it goes like a rocket. Lance has a way with words. The combination of Japanese engineering and an overconfident belief in my driving ability provided Gunter with a reason to consider returning to his home on Amtrak. Rapidly, we headed south. In no time, we were sliding sideways into Hector's driveway. We unloaded the essential cargo, the beer, and made our way onto the USS Budweiser. I think he was drinking when he wrote this.
USS Obadiah, Budweiser?
Do you think?
Yeah. Obadiah soon arrived, and we all settled into sipping and sitting and reminiscing about our days of high school, subpar scholastic achievements, and automotive near-death experiences. This is usually what car guys talk about, you know, after the first beer. Gunter, known since high school as Crazy, not his real nickname, once again shared the story of partially removing the roof from his 48 Chevrolet four-door sedan and loading the convertible with eight of his buddies. He then commenced careening around the neighborhood as the Chevy's altered roofline caused it to look and handle like a giant half-open sardine can. You know what happens when you take the roof off a sedan?
Yeah.
You know this.
Yeah.
The roof is kind of what holds that body together.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you then open a door, you kind of flop around. It's not fun. Hector reminded us of his proud accomplishment was having puked out the window of nearly every one of his high school buddies' cars, an honor only surpassed by his reputation of being able to destroy the rear tires of his 1963 Plymouth Fury on a weekly basis. And Obadiah, long respected for his ability to not get beat up by his hot rod cronies for driving a 59 Volkswagen, once again shared his expertise on where in the Volkswagen's engine compartment to keep pizza warm and where in the trunk to keep the beer cold. These are critical pieces of information.
Check the antifreeze.
Not my real name, once again spun and embellished the tale of how my high school sweetheart would remind me that no, my 54 Oldsmobile was not the reason that she tolerated me, and in fact she still dated me despite the car. The dear old Olds was known affectionately as the boat anchor by Hector, Gunter, and Obadiah. The sojourn, I'm pretty sure he was drunk writing this. The sojourn included...
I wonder if he puked out of one of the cars.
A laughter and terror-filled flight in the 27-year-old airplane, a few bottles sent floating down the mighty Columbia, and fond farewells and shouted as the Japanese dream machine headed back to the home of the space needle. It sounds good to me. Sounds like we created five brand new good old days of adventure. Now, let me add a postscript to Lance's tome of automotive excitement.
You got a beer?
Who among us has not gotten together with a bunch of old friends and recapped lies about how cool we were when we were younger? And who among us has not had a couple of beers sharing those stories? And who among us would not like to go and do that again any weekend that you have?
It was just last week. What do you mean?
It was.
You mean years ago? It was just last week.
It's 20 minutes, I think.
You know, it's really funny. I'm watching you guys, and there's a little delay in the video, so it may be just the weather or something. I don't know what it is, but Brady's will talk, and then his mouth will be moving.
You know what? Here's a technical note, friends. Zoom is not absolutely on top. There's a little, about a half a second lag, and it's kind of funny because if you're really, really good, if you turn around fast enough, you can actually see yourself.
Yes.
Back to the future.
I'm not going to do it, but trust me. So thanks again to Lance for letting us read out of his book. You can get his books at Amazon. You can get them at Barnes & Noble or through the Vintage Vehicle Show website. And, of course, your bookshelf would not be complete without them. I can tell you now that in the coming months,
David Dickinson's coming up, right?
David Dickinson's Old Car Nut books will make a return. By the way, if you're on Facebook at all, you can go to the Old Car Nut book. Just do a search for the Old Car Nut book. David is re-promoting the books. I'm hoping that he is getting ready to produce book four. I've been bugging him about this for 3 years.
Yes.
Maybe we'll see. At very least, I have told him several times that I would help him write it, so we'll see.
Well,
maybe you could talk to him about some of the good old times you had drinking beers with some about four buddies you had in your car.
That's right. there have been those times.
Oh, don't use their rear names now.
No. I'll come up with good names.
I can see why Lance didn't use his buddy that puked out the car window name. We don't want to repeat.
I would admit to that.
Yes, I think
it wasn't Brady Wright, was it?
No.
But
although I can say that if I had known Lance in high school, I would have grown up in another town because his high school is in Tacoma and I grew up in Seattle.
Yes. Well, you were just a couple years apart in age, are you not?
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, when you think about your childhood, I was just actually thinking about this the other day, of you know, my boys, they live a fairly simple life. They didn't really get into car culture. They like their cars. But they're buddies and stuff. My middle son, his buddy down, well, one of the kids that he knows, young men now, he got into it, and he had a 60s truck that he fixed up, and it was Chevy truck. And then so he had come down and helped Noah work on his car, and I'd be out there helping out, working on the cars and stuff. That was the Crown Vic. Now he's got himself he got a really good killer deal on a Lexus, so a used Lexus, so he's driving that now. But our day, we didn't have video. We didn't have Zoom. We didn't do video games. We didn't have any of that stuff.
We had video, but it was all powered by Steam.
Right, but we had three channels on TV, maybe four or five if you had the off channels. And so what did you do with your time? So what did you do with your time as you spent it outside? Riding bicycles, building forts, playing Huck Finn. And then when you got to high school, you got a car, and that became the thing that people lived around was their car. And the newer generation, yeah, they've got a car. It takes them from point A to point B. But the cruising just hasn't got the flair that it did for our generation.
They'd rather do this.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it
they
is
do.
Kind of coming back. I'll give them some credit. But, yeah, I mean, ever since the styling, you know, of cars and kind of got so homogenous, it's hard, you know, to do that. I know that I hate to say the kids, but, you know, 20, 30, 40-year-old people, they can keep track of all those cars. They enjoy the cruise, and they enjoy, you know, doing some work on their cars, but most of it's internal. It's not so much external these days, and that's sort of too bad. Is that it? Nearly there? That's the secret message.
Hey, it's almost time for the Nathan Lepke trivia question. It's going to be a good one.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy. Which is great, because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test. Because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you
big block.
Can understand.
A big block El Camino. We need to get Steve to get the standard motor. You got a 350 in there, don't you? In your 68?
396.
396
big block.
All right. Yeah. It's Emma. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you need to jerk that thing out of there. We need to get you a blower and some other fun stuff. You need to cut that hood. Come on.
Yeah. I'll have two hoods. I am going to, when I get done with it, I'm going to have two sets of rims. I'm going to have the standard that's supposed to be on there with the red walls. And then I'm going to have some very wide ones I can switch out the rims for the.
There you go.
You can have your rims etched.
Yes.
And we know a guy who could do that, too.
Oh, I do.
Hey,
yes.
So. Right. Usually, yeah, in this segment, we talk about the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question, and we are going to do that. But as we're kind of getting into, well, we're in another year, we actually have an event coming up in January by one of our friends, Adam from Avance. Remember Adam Levine from,
yes,
from Avance?
Yes.
So Adam's got an event coming up. It's called Let's Get Dirty.
Ooh.
And it's another Avance off-road
are
event.
Are we that kind of show?
It's going to be at Dirtfish. On Saturday, January 23rd. So it's coming up. All the skill levels are welcome. It's a great opportunity to meet people, off-roaders, to learn some new skills, have some fun out on the course. It's $60 per vehicle and driver. It's open to Avance members and friends. There's going to be two sessions, one morning, one afternoon, 20 vehicles per session. You can go to avance.com and get all the information and the times and everything. Here's the actual registration event and address, and we'll put this on the website as well. www.avance.com/events, and that'll get you to their whole page. It's a 2021
cool
event.
Cool.
And it's very cool. Again, Saturday, January 23rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Dirtfish Off-Road Course, which is in Snoqualmie, Washington, so it's not too far away.
Clothes optional?
I don't know.
It'll be kind of cold.
I don't know. I would think you'd want to wear something.
You're not going to want to take your beautifully etched custom up there, though.
No,
this is for off-roading. Yes.
So last week, the trivia question was pretty cool. We had Lee Iacocca, who's a big name in Ford and Chrysler. He was responsible for the Mustang. And what other
minivan
iconic car? Now, we had quite a few answers. Nathan gave me three because he probably had seen Ford versus Ferrari. It's true that he was responsible for the Mustang. He was also responsible for the Ford GT indirectly because he was the guy that hired Carroll Shelby. But he was responsible, once he went to Chrysler, for the 1984 minivan. The Chrysler minivan. And yeah, that was the thing that got the whole minivan craze started. So congrats. It's very cool. Nathan came up with it, so he's the winner today. And this week's question is a good one. Ferdinand Porsche. Everybody knows. He was an automotive designer of some excellence, but do you know that he had no car named after him? True or false? True or false? So very simple. True or false? You can get us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can go to the website. You can give us a messenger thing. You'll get there. Ferdinand Porsche had no car named after him, despite all of his design experts.
Yes, we named the Mustang SUV.
It did the SUV.
Steve Johann.
Yeah, that. Yeah, it was his.
Steve Johann.
Ferdies. Hey, you know, we still reach over a million people.
I will pull that up.
You are amongst the top 10 on automotive podcasts on Facebook. We thank you for that. You can email the show at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com, of course. And you can also get to our archives there at Podomatic. We're also on YouTube. Steve is doing a good job of putting all the videos up on the YouTube channel.
And now BitChute.
That's right. And
BitChute.
That's right.
MeWe.
And Parler. Well, not Parler so much because they beat up Parler. But Rumble. And another one that I just started, and I can't remember what it is, but we'll put it up on the website so you can go there. We're also on Player FM and Podbay and CastBox. You're going to do it. We had a great time talking with Austin Wagoner this week, the tattooing metal guy for Ron Foreman and Steve Johann. I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Drive fast. Take risks. Next week, another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.